As you are turning to Luke 19 this morning, I just want to say just a couple of things before we begin. As you're turning again to Luke 19, it is good to see, we do have many on our prayer list, unfortunately, but it is good to see that some of those who we've been praying for are back with us today. We are so thankful for that. It's good to have Peggy back with us. And Peggy, I don't know if David told you anything about anything that might have been said Wednesday night, but it wasn't true, whatever he said. It is good to have you back with us. Also, it's actually not Connie Reynolds who's at the Riverview Medical Center. It's Corinne Reynolds. But it wouldn't surprise me if I wrote Connie Reynolds, because on my dad's Father's Day card that I sent him this year, I said, "Happy Father's Day," wrote a couple of things, and I said, "You are the best mom in the world." And so it wouldn't surprise me if I did put Connie Reynolds, but it is actually Corinne Reynolds, who's my little girl who is at the medical center, and not sure exactly what's wrong. I'm afraid that she might have pneumonia again. She's had it in the past, and she's kind of acting like she did that last time. So she's just sick little girl, so please pray for her. We'll find out. Mindy's got her there right now, and Lord willing, everything will be okay with her. Just wanted to mention those two things. Please be praying for Corinne, and it is good to have some who have been sick back with us again. And I did mention the Boyds. It's been 6 Sundays since they've been able to be with us, so that's a long time. And of course, we miss them, and we want to pray for them. Alice is having a time of it right now. Of course, her health has not been good for a long time. But anyway, we just want to be thinking about all of these people that we love so much, and think about what we can do for those who are members here. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, is a passage all of us are familiar with. I tried to coerce Ryan into leading. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but he didn't have the guts to do it. But that's what this is about, Zacchaeus. We've heard of Zacchaeus since we were just little kids, and we did sing that song, probably one of the first Bible songs that we learned besides "Jesus Loves Me." Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He cried up in the sycamore tree the Lord he wanted to see. And that's what this passage is about. But I've entitled this lesson, and it may be a lesson you've heard about. I've heard other preachers use this same title when talking about this lesson, and it is just a great, great thing to think about. And the title is, "What a Difference a Day Makes." What a difference a day makes. And you think about this, and not to get too macabre or anything like that, but you think about some of the biggest days in your life. Usually things happen over a period of time. But probably all of us in our lives can look back to one day when our lives completely changed forever. It might be the day we graduated high school. I mean, that one day, that one event on one day, take all those years to get to that point, but that one day your life changed forever. That one day where you got married. You're talking about a difference. I think I've shared this before. The morning we woke up after being married and there's has somebody else in my bed. I've slept alone for all these years, and it's just what a difference that one day makes. And some of you, unfortunately, have had to go through the times where one day you woke up with your spouse with you, and you went to bed that night with your spouse no longer with you. And that day changed your life forever, no doubt. Zacchaeus had such a day as this, a day where he could look back to and he could go to sleep that night and think, what a difference this day has made in my life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, what a difference a day makes. Let's just read the first 10 verses of this wonderful passage and then we'll discuss it together. Luke 19, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's of interest that Jesus says in this passage, this day or today, salvation is come to your house. Jesus recognized the importance of that day for Zacchaeus when he says, today has salvation come to your house. He speaks of something of great importance happening this day, today, for Zacchaeus when he makes this great statement. And so this means that Zacchaeus, like we've been talking about in the introduction, could look back to this day and say, something of great importance happened to me on this day when Jesus said, today salvation has come to your house. I want to look at several things that are easy to see from the text. Some things that will just show us the importance of this day, and some wonderful things about Zacchaeus, this short man that we can admire in his day. And then at the end, we'll conclude it by making the application to each of us this morning. Number one, Zacchaeus started this day as a man, but became a boy. Now, not literally, but he started this day acting like a man, but he concluded this day or went through this day acting like a little boy. Verse 2 tells us there was a man named Zacchaeus. So he was called a man. We're talking about an adult male. He was a man. We understand that. But in his desire to see Jesus, what does he do? He begins acting like a little boy. He runs and he climbs a tree. How many little boys does that sound like today? Love to run, love to climb trees. But if you see men running today, usually there's either somebody after them or they're trying to exercise. Zacchaeus was not doing any of those two things. He was running like a little boy might do, running to a tree, and then you see him climbing this tree, acting just like a little boy. You know, oftentimes we revert back to childhood, or at least acting like a child, when various things take place in our lives. I know sometimes when I get excited, you can see me, you can see that excitement just by the way that I act. Just a few weeks ago when Mindy and I were going to be leaving on vacation, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I was so excited to leave later on that day. Just couldn't sleep the night before. And already it started so excited for Kenya, I'll wake up about it in the middle of the night and not be able to go back to sleep. Just like a little kid. You see, excitement. And probably all of us have something like that that we can relate to. Something that we are so excited about, we begin to act like a little kid in that excitement. That's what Zacchaeus did here. He was so excited, he acted just like a little boy. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Justin Bieber walked by, that one of our young teenage girls, or younger than teenagers, tween, I think they call them, would run and climb up a tree so they could get a glance at Justin Bieber. Most of us don't know who Justin Bieber is, and you're better off probably because of it. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, a little girl running to just catch a glimpse of Justin Bieber. Or maybe a boy who would hear of a great baseball player walking by. It wouldn't surprise me at all, this little boy running as fast as he could to climb a tree just so he could get a glimpse of his favorite baseball player. But here's Zacchaeus, now a full-grown man, running like a little boy, climbing a tree just like a little boy, just so he could see and better understand, get a better look at Jesus Christ. He ran and he climbed. You know, Matthew 18:3 tells us that except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to become childish, but we are supposed to become childlike. And that's what Zacchaeus does here. When he wants to see Christ so badly, he becomes like a little child. We are to have the humility of a child. I want you to think about the things that we get the most excited about. Should they not be Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Would you run as fast as you could? Would you climb a tree with all your peers around there looking at you, wondering what in the world you're doing, just to catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ? Friend, that is exactly what Zacchaeus did. Do you appreciate him for that? Boy, I sure do. Number two, he began in a crowd on this day, but he became an individual. He began in a crowd, but became an individual. Verse 3 says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. He was part of the crowd. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because, again, he was part of a crowd. There is a sense in which all of us are placed in groups. We find ourselves in groups. You're young, you're middle-aged, you're old, you're black, you're white, you're wealthy, you're poor, you're middle class. It seems like in everything in life, people want to place us in groups, don't they? But you know, there's a sense that we must all face Jesus and see Jesus eventually as an individual. We are part of the church of Christ, yes, but it is an individual response that puts us into Christ. There is a time when we have to step out of the crowd and become an individual. Oh, that's an easy thing to do, isn't it? You remember those of you who are Christians, the day you obeyed the gospel? Remember how easy it was for you to step out into the aisle and walk down that aisle? It wasn't easy at all, was it? It was hard. That first step, as you sometimes hear people say, is the hardest, isn't it? You just have to have the courage, the guts, to step out in the aisle. Because once you're out there, you got to do something. Either go back in or walk down the aisle. I remember the day I was baptized, and I was 12, almost 13. I chickened out several times as the invitation song was being sung. And eventually I said, Mark, just on the count of three, just do it. And so in my mind, I said, one, two, three. And I did it. I didn't count that fast. But at three, I did it. Why? Because that was hard to do. It's not easy to step out of the crowd and become an individual. But that's what Zacchaeus did. He left the crowd. He climbed this tree so he himself could see Jesus the Christ. It becomes a matter to every individual that we must take the responsibility to individually obey Christ. Young people, your mom and dad cannot obey the Lord for you. Husbands, your wife cannot be faithful for you. Wives, your husband cannot be faithful for you. It is an individual responsibility each of us have. Let's look at a couple passages and see if this is the case. Let's first of all turn to Acts chapter 2. Keep Luke 19 marked. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. When Peter and the rest of the apostles are preaching this great sermon, and we won't read all of this, but you see verse 22, and you'll see this type of wording all throughout this great sermon. Acts 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. It had been very easy to be in that crowd and say, Jesus is talking to everybody else. He's lumping us into the group. You men of Israel. Yeah, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to all of you. And that would be so easy to do. And then he goes on all the way down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Here again, it's everybody else. All the house of Israel, we did this to Jesus. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What will we do? What must we do? Again, it seems like this was a crowd, a mob mentality, where they together cried, what must we do? Then verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, again, talking to the whole group, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And so there was a time when they heard this sermon where they could honestly say, yes, he's talking to us. Yes, we crucified the Son of God. Yes, we must do this. But you know, when they were baptized, they had to step out one by one, didn't they? Why? Because it was an individual responsibility for them to respond individually. We are the Charlotte Avenue Church of Christ. I am part of the Charlotte Avenue Church of Christ. There is an individual responsibility. Yes, the crowd killed Jesus, but you know what? So did individuals. Yes, the crowd responded, what must we do? But you know what? So did individuals. Yes, the crowd heard the command, repent and be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. But each of those people had to be baptized individually. They couldn't let the rest of the crowd do that for them. And so when we listen to sermons and when we think about the responsibility we have in life, yes, it is the church's responsibility, no doubt about it. And that makes it my responsibility personally. It is your responsibility to hear the gospel of Christ. It is your responsibility to believe the gospel of Christ. It is your responsibility to repent of your own sins, not everybody else's, but your own. It is your responsibility to proclaim your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that it's your responsibility to obey the gospel of Christ. And I know that's hard. None of us likes to be pointed out. None of us likes to have to act alone. But you know something? Everybody who ever obeys the gospel of Christ must do just that. It is something very personally between you and your Savior. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus did. Number three, he began the day as a lost individual and ended the day as a saved individual. Verses 9 and 10, going back to Luke 19. And Jesus said to him, "Today has salvation come to your house, because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord said that salvation had come to his house that day. What does that mean about the previous days in his home? What does that mean about Zacchaeus previously to this day? That means that salvation was not in his house and that he was not saved. He was a lost individual. He started the day lost, but he ended the day a saved individual. That means at one time when he woke up that morning, he was in the wrong place in his relationship with God, and he ended the day in the right relationship with Almighty God, in the right place. He was now with God. He was where God wanted him to be. What a difference a day makes. Can you imagine starting that day where God is not able to hear your prayers? His ears, as we learned this morning in Bible class, are not open to the unrighteous. His eyes are not over the unrighteous. But on the other hand, his ears are open to the righteous and his eyes are over the righteous. He started that day not being able to pray to God. He started that day with his soul completely lost. If he had died at noon or whatever time this took place before Jesus Christ saved his soul, if he had died before that, he would have died lost. He started that day 100% completely lost, but he ended that day a saved individual. What a difference a day makes. Friends, is this not exactly the illustration of what we read in Luke 15? Turn back a couple pages in your Bible. Let's just read a few verses. Luke 15. And I love Jesus for many things, but one of the greatest reasons I love him is because he loves me. Notice what I said. I didn't say he loves us, although he does. One of the greatest reasons I love Jesus is because he loves me. And you know what? Every single one of us can make that same statement. Yes, he loves us. But one of the greatest reasons I love him is because he loves me. Jesus picked Zacchaeus out of the crowd when he saw him in that tree, and he said, "You come down." Why? Because I am concerned about you, Zacchaeus. And if you read Luke 15, friends, this is exactly what we see in our Heavenly Father. Look at Luke 15, verse 4. "Which man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he finds it?" That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Yes, he is surrounded by many, many people. Maybe some of them are doing the will of God. Maybe some of them believe in Jesus Christ. But there was one in that audience that day that was not saved, and Jesus walked right up to him. Why? Because that's what God does. "Which one of you, if he has 99... but one is lost, doesn't leave those 99, and he goes and finds that one which is lost." I'm going to tell you something. He's not talking about humans here, because oftentimes humans' mentality would be, "Well, you know what, 99 out of 100 is pretty good. I could go 1 for 3 in baseball and be considered an all-star." But God's not like that. If there is one lost soul, he goes and seeks him out. Go down, see if this is not the case. Go down to verse 8, another parable. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" Again, God doesn't think like we do. "Hey, at least I've got 9 out of 10. That's pretty good." Not God. And then, of course, the wonderful passage that we're all familiar with. Drop down to verse 32. "It was right," says the father to the son, to the oldest son, "that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother is dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." That father could have said, "Well, you know what? At least I've got my oldest son. I can be happy." That's not at all what that father did. He went out every day and he sought to see his son come home. And he was not happy until he did. Friend, the greatest reason that you should love Jesus is because he loves you. If everybody in this building today is a saved Christian and you're not, that bothers God. If everybody else in this building is faithful to God, but you are not, that bothers God. And he wants to do something about that today. He began as a lost man, but ended as one who was saved. Number four, he began the day with duties incomplete and ended the day with a resolution to do the right thing. Keep in mind, Zacchaeus lived under the old law. He was talking with Jesus before the new law had come in to account, before the new law had come in. Jesus had not yet died on the cross. That's important because he says what he does according to the old law. Verse 8, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Lord, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and I have given, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" That's what the old law commanded. If you steal something, you have to replace it. Not just item for item, but you have to replace it fourfold. Zacchaeus says, that's what I do. But he was still missing something in his life, wasn't he? He was still missing something in his life. Because yet, as of yet, he did not know who Christ was and didn't know what Christ had to do with his salvation. But you know what? Before the day was over, he would take care of that matter. Let's look at one last point, and then we'll make application. Zacchaeus began the day as host and ended the day as a guest. He began the day as the host and ended the day as the guest. Yes, he would take Jesus to his house, no doubt, provided food and drink and comfortableness to Jesus. He was the host. That was his responsibility. Yes, he began the day as the host, but he ended the day with something far, far greater. Instead of his being the one providing to Jesus, Jesus provided something to him that day. You want to see what that is? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Yes, we can give things to Jesus. Yes, we can do things for Jesus. But we must always keep in mind that it is Jesus who is the great provider. Revelation chapter 3. Let's look at verse 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is that not what Jesus was doing with Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, come down from there. I want to go to your house. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me." Verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus stands at the door and knocks. It would have been one thing for Zacchaeus to take him to his home. Say, "Jesus, you just stand out here. The rest of us are going to go inside." That's not what he did. He invited Jesus in to his home. And when he did, he ended the day with the greatest gift he ever got. Let's go back to Luke 19 and read the final passage. Jesus said to him, because Zacchaeus heard him, because Zacchaeus invited him in, because Zacchaeus had ears to listen, this is what Jesus says to him. Verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham." What a difference that day made in the life of Zacchaeus. Let's review quickly. Number one, he began as a man but he ended the day acting like a little boy. Number two, he began in a crowd, but he was singled out as an individual. Number three, he began as one who was lost, but ended the day as one who was saved. He began the days with incomplete duties, but he ended the day doing what he needed to do. And then last, he began as the host and ended as the guest. What an attitude in this man named Zacchaeus. What about you? Where is your soul today in relationship to Jesus Christ? Like Zacchaeus, perhaps you began this day, perhaps you even came here today with your soul not right with God. Let me give you two options, and only two. You can end the day with your soul in that exact same situation, or you can end today pillowing your head, knowing that your soul is right with Almighty God. There's the choice. There it is. We've given you the plan of salvation. And I know this might be being simplistic, but there's your two choices. If you are not living faithfully to God, you can stay where you are and go home lost. Or you can respond as an individual to Christ and go home safe in the arms of the Savior. If we all truly understood the beauty, the profoundness, yet the simplicity of that thought, if everybody in Rock Hill understood that, we would have a line from here all the way out our door, down the steps, out the doors out there of line, just waiting for people. Please baptize me into Christ. I don't want to go home lost. But unfortunately, not everybody in Rock Hill is here this morning. But you are. And so we ask you this question. Where are you? You know, I could never have had this happen, but I would love to see one run down the aisle at the giving of the invitation. He'd be just like Zacchaeus. Where are you in relationship to Christ? What a difference a day makes. This could be the day in your life when you can look back on and say, that's the day I allowed the Lord to make my soul right with Him. That's the day I obeyed my Lord. Those two choices are yours. All together we stand and sing this song.